Everything from a squeegee in a stuck elevator to a squeeze on the shoulder. From a voice booming an order to get out to a crowbar smashing sheetrock around a jammed door. The crises in the two towers had identical beginnings and endings. Suicidal attacks by terrorists and airliners, followed by raging fire and total collapses. Yet the events in each tower ran on different clocks and took different courses. The North Tower was hit first at 8:46:30, 16 minutes and 29 seconds before the strike against the South Tower at 9:02:59. This gap between crashes afforded some opportunity to begin an evacuation in the South Building before the second plane flew into it. Conversely, the South Tower, though hit second, was the first to fall, collapsing at 9:58:59, 29 minutes and 26 seconds before the North Tower, in effect giving notice that total calamity was not only possible, but also imminent, and thus providing a chance for rescuers to pull out of the North Building. In heartbreaking measure, many people could not take hold of those fleeting opportunities. During those two intervals, and ultimately across the entire 102 minutes, decades of struggle over safety in skyscrapers and over the sensible operation of New York's emergency services would come to shattering ends. Nothing can diminish the culpability of the hijackers and their masters in the murders of September 11, 2001, which stand beyond mitigation as the defining historical truth of the day. The ferocity of the attacks meant that innocent people lived or died because they stepped back from a doorway, or hopped onto a closing elevator, or simply shifted their weight from one foot to another. That said, simply to declare that the hijackers alone killed all those people gives them far more credit as soldiers than they are due. The buildings themselves became weapons. At least 1,500 people in the Trade Center, and possibly many more, survived the initial crashes but died because they were unable to escape from their floors or elevators while the building stood. Those people were not killed by the planes alone any more than passengers on the Titanic were killed by the iceberg. With 102 minutes in the North Tower and 56 minutes in the South, thousands of people had time to evacuate, and did. Those who did not escape were trapped by circumstances that had been the subject of debates that began before the first shovel of earth was turned for the Trade Center, and that continued at a low volume through the entire existence of the towers. Could the buildings withstand the direct impact of an airplane? Was the fireproofing adequate? Were there enough exits? The willingness of firefighters, police officers, and medical workers to serve others, never in question, was indelibly established on September 11th. Stark and towering as their sacrifices are, they do not stand alone in history. Many records document the emergency response, records that both the City of New York and the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey have tried to keep secret. These records show that for all the aggressiveness of the response, emergency workers suffered the same failures of communication, coordination, and command that they had experienced on February 26, 1993, when terrorists first tried to knock down the Trade Center. This time, those failures came at terrible cost. Indeed, for 102 minutes, success and failure, life and death, ran parallel courses, as did effort and selflessness, infighting, and short-sightedness. Finally, the fate of all the men and women inside the towers during those 102 minutes were specifically and intimately linked to decisions about the planning, construction, and faith in colossally tall buildings. Approximately 12,000 people, nearly everyone below the crash zones, got out, creating an encyclopedia of survival. The towers stood long enough. The office workers formed a mass of civility. The responders helped steer and steady them. And then there is the brutal calculus of death. The Office of the Chief Medical Examiner of New York City reports